Yeah, I was just thinking when you're talking over there, probably my stuff is going to be a lot of the stuff you hear from everybody else, you know, sitting in the meetings with him.
Right.
Things like that.
But it's also, I need you for context at the time. That's going to be really important. So, you know, so it's that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah.
I have some specific questions I need to ask you about school funding.
Sure.
How that all worked and when it changed. Because I graduated from high school in 77, and I moved back here in 1990.
Oh,
so I was exactly when Vic was in office is when I didn't live here. So.
In 77, when all the timber business just created chaos, and we had school closures all over.
Yeah.
And everything
in 75, Medford came within one vote of shutting down for the school year.
See,
and I would have just gone to SOC. We knew James K. Sowers, the president.
Oh, yes.
And my parents had talked to him, and I would have just started at SOC. Mm-hmm. As basically a sophomore. But
you're ready to do something.
Yeah.
Well, Eagle Point closed.
Yeah, exactly. A little bit later.
Mm-hmm. Eagle Point closed.
Yeah.
North Bend closed.
Yeah.
So
all that
Road,
stuff.
Instigated. Yeah. So we had some rules.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And set many meetings with Vic in that conference room over this, which we were telling people, the state can't do anything.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, it's local.
It's local.
There you go.
Not that we didn't, but the way it worked out.
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. So, just start out telling me how you knew Vic. When did he first get on your radar, and then how did you know him?
Well, okay, my first association with him was I was superintendent here in Clackamas County, and I think it was about that time he had Senate Bill 1.
Mm-hmm.
Which is one of his education plans.
Mm-hmm.
It never happened, I don't think. But in fact, he gave me something one time. Gosh, what was it? I have, I bet. His notes.
From when he was in the Senate or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something about Senate Bill 1.
Wow.
It was Senate Bill 1 when he was in the Senate.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was a biggie with him. But it didn't materialize. But, you know, so when I'm here, not that I'm working directly with him, you know, I was very aware
yeah.
of him. He was in
yeah.
the Senate. He was very active, very respected in the Senate,
mm-hmm.
and a person that you wanted on your side if you're after something
mm-hmm.
education-wise.
So what are we talking about for time here?
Well, that would have been 1970 when I came.
1970, okay.
So 1970 would have been my
yeah.
first.
Yeah.
Yeah, been my first real association. Very indirectly at that point.
Yeah,
very,
yeah.
Very, yeah, yeah.
And fascinating talking to him because I asked him about, especially when he's in the legislature, so, you know, what about this person or that person? You know, he was, if it wasn't in his legislative purview, he kind of knew what was going on, but he didn't focus on what the Secretary of State was doing, or he didn't focus on
you know,
that kind of stuff, because it wasn't his job.
Yeah,
he was really focused on what the job mm-hmm. at hand was.
Yeah. Well, so actually, as that's because I was here 70 to 74, and I was elected
mm-hmm.
in 74, went
mm-hmm.
to Salem,
mm-hmm.
75, and he was in the Senate
mm-hmm.
then. Didn't have a. Isn't that funny? I don't know how. I didn't have a lot to do with making him remember, but somewhere. I really gained a respect for him because I'm trying to think. It's really funny. I was in Klamath Falls
mm-hmm.
with Joe, the old editor, longtime publisher, about
mm-hmm.
that same time.
Of the
Klamath Falls
Herald.
Yeah. And he was ranting raving when I went in his office. He was so mad at Tia. Because they endorsed Tia and so forth,
mm-hmm.
and the word has been spread when he was trying to get some advertising. No, we're doing TV and not newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And so, while I was in Klamath Falls, I called. I don't know if I called him or who I called. And he said, you better get some advertising in the Herald paper down here right quick. Like, and
yeah.
And Vic thanked me, and they did.
Yeah.
They got a big ad in their paper because, oh, Joe was mad. Oh, he was just, I went to his office, he just said, damn it to you, you know, we backed him all in, we've done this thing, and look what he's going to do. No, he's going to put TV ads in the newspaper, so he was really mad.
Yeah.
And so I remember I must have been pretty loyal to it. Of course, I'd be campaigning at the same time.
Right, exactly.
Because the superintendent and the governor used to always campaign the same year. So,
yeah,
so I was obviously campaigning at the same time he was.
Mm-hmm.
Probably got pretty well acquainted during that time and so forth.
Was it a partisan position at that point?
No. So I was always careful to be, but I liked Atiyah. And when I heard that in Joe's office, I thought I'd better get word to him.
Right.
Yeah. So I was trying to, you know, I think most of the years I was pretty, although when you're Republican, they still try to, you know, Earl Blumenauer and some of them are always after me because they assume I might run for
other
office or something sometimes. Yeah. So they tried to do anything they can to make me look
bad. All those superintendents of public instruction who became governor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that would be my first, probably got to know him on the campaign trail when we're both, because on the campaign trail you're out with everybody. Too.
Right.
I mean, you know, not the Democrats, Republicans, those political, I don't know if they have them so much anymore or not, but they used to have those candidate pairs and everybody be there all over the state.
Exactly.
Know, and we'd all show up.
Exactly.
So that's when my first. So I can't say I knew him well or had much to do with him. I don't know if he was on the. I don't think he was on the education committee. I can't.
Yeah, he would.
At that point,
on and
was,
off.
He was at, when he had Senate Bill 1 at one, but I don't know if that point. I don't remember him at that particular. Cliff Troll. Was chair, and so I worked with Cliff more. So.
Yeah.
So it was when he became governor that I. And I must have worked fairly close with him because they had a big gathering for him down at the downtown, or not downtown, but on the east side someplace. We had something kind of a tribute to him, and the Secretary of Labor at that time,
Mary Wendy.
No. State the U.S.
Oh, U.S. U.S.
came and spoke.
Donovan.
No.
Elaine Chao?
No. Oh, probably kind of a very. I've got pictures of
it.
Glenda put it together. Now, Glenda, have you heard about Glenda?
Mm-mm.
Glenda was his secretary in those days.
Hmm.
And she was that first term. All of a sudden, Glenda was gone. I never saw her. I never heard about her again. She's just gone. But Glenda had been his secretary in the Senate. You might want to.
Well, I doubt you're saying that. I remember that he fondly talks about the legislature. They didn't have offices for most of the time he was in. You know, desk on the floor was basically
right,
dead.
And
your secretary was there.
Yeah.
So the name has come up. But
Glenda, but she was his she was his governor secretary.
Yeah.
Probably most of his first term.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened. Something happened. Because it was really.
Yeah, she disappears.
She just disappeared.
Yeah.
So, be curious. She'd be an interesting person to talk to.
Because
she was with him during the legislature. And probably most of his first term. She was his personal secretary. And Glenda put this whole thing together, I remember.
It
was kind of a. I never knew really what the purpose was. It was just kind of a tribute to Atiyah.
Right.
Yeah, he was fairly, this was his first term.
Yeah.
And we're still, not campaign time or anything like that, just the middle of the establishment. And I was invited to speak, and there were several. So I bet I looked at the program the other night. I can't remember who all, the Secretary of Labor came out. He was the Republican National Chairman from Kentucky. And a senator, from, he was senator too.
So this is 79, 80-ish, 81-ish?
Well, he's elected in 78, so it's right in there, yeah.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's before the 82 election, yeah. Well before the election.
Yeah, because having the Republican chair would make more sense than the Carter Labor Secretary.
Yeah, oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Or, yeah. I mean, it might have been after the election, so it might have been the Reagan Labor Secretary.
I think at this point he may have been the Republican National Chair.
Yeah.
James on the tip of my tongue. Okay, came up. And anyhow, so that's when I started attending his meetings right off the bat. I attended, McCall had something each week too.
Mm-hmm.
And the state superintendent takes office the week before the governor does.
Yeah.
And so I attended McCall's last staff meeting.
Uh-huh.
I was invited. I guess as elected official, I'm still invited.
Mm-hmm.
Very nostalgic time. Mm-hmm. McCall didn't want to go. You know,
oh, yeah.
It was his last meeting. Mm-hmm. And then started meeting with, Straub after that. That's right. So, yeah, that was a different ballgame. I liked Straub. His staff, you were talking about staff a while ago. Staff just drove me crazy.
Yeah.
Straub would tell you one thing, pretty soon the staff would change it all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It didn't happen with you.
Yeah. Well, and there was a struggle with that. I didn't talk to him about it because I hadn't gotten that far in the oral history. But, in fact, he had a meeting with Lynn Newbery and someone else there. They were, it's Lee Johnson. Here's what the budget is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he listened, and he said, okay, now we're going to do the governor's budget.
And oh, yeah.
That's what
oh,
they did. They
yeah.
did not do.
Oh, it's Straub's budget.
Yeah, no, it was Lynn Newbery's budget.
Oh,
and
I
Lee Johnson's budget.
Oh, yes, because they did. Because I know we all met with. During the transition.
Yeah, and he said, "Okay, that's glad to hear that. Now we're going to do governor's budget, not your budget."
Convinced that Lynn Newbery would not have been there. A good chief of staff for him. And I like Lynn Newbery.
Yeah,
I always thought respect for him.
Yeah,
but a chief of staff has to be able to be in a subservient role.
Yeah.
And when you've been kind of the...
Yeah.
It's kind of tough to...
Yeah.
To deal with that. So I can see where... And Jerry was just a...
Yeah. One thing that it occurred to me reading all this stuff and talking to Denny and a little bit to Vic about the chief of staff kind of thing. Vic dealt with Howard Baker,
mm-hmm.
who'd been, you know, fancy-pantsy... presidential candidate, U.S. senator, and then becomes
chief of staff. Yeah.
And so, it'd be just fascinating to look at that dynamic and see
how that would work.
Yeah, how that would work.
Because he wanted to be president himself.
Yeah, exactly.
When I said that a minute ago, I immediately thought of Howard Baker.
Yeah.
Too. I thought of that. Really.
Yeah.
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 An interesting one too.
So, tell me about the weekly meetings. So,
by the
minutia.
Way,
yeah.
They were several days. And different
mm-hmm.
groups went on.
Oh, yeah, because he'd meet the legislative leadership, you know, kind of the
yeah, he split it up a little bit, and I can't remember exactly. I know I was with transportation and forestry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there'd be at least a dozen people plus around the
yeah.
table.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Always. And he sat up smoking a cigarette.
Yep, exactly.
In the old days. Short sleeve
yeah.
shirt.
Yep.
Yeah. Went right around the room.
Yep.
And that was it. You know?
Yeah.
You know, he didn't pontificate or anything like that. It was just a matter of the chance for people to tell him what's going on.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So his point was, I never want to be caught off guard.
Yep. Exactly.
Said, yeah.
Exactly.
So those were, and as I said, he brought people together. You know, Lee Hegstrom, I remember him saying, well, Vernon, you and Legal, you can work that one out.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah, the one that Vic is kind of most proud of is he had veterans and the housing people.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
There was something that it occurred to them, oh, wait, the federal government's changing the way that home loans work or something, and you guys can solve a huge
yeah.
problem. And they did. Because these meetings
well,
put together.
I tell you what, let me tell you a good example right there. Leo and I really worked together. He
mm-hmm.
was Director Leo Hegstrom.
Yeah.
Director of Human Health and Human Services. Anyhow, what do you call it? DAS? DHS? Well, what was it? It was called something else then.
Yeah.
Anyhow, Leo. And there was a lot of conflict with, on education and with my staff mm-hmm. and with his staff, family, adult and family, and all these things. There's just a lot of little conflicts. Anyhow, Leo and I put together a meeting. At that first meeting, the education people lined up over here, and all the mm-hmm. DHS people over here. And pretty soon, when you go to a meeting, they're all mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
And we really got things going. We yeah. really had things moving on early childhood education and a bunch of stuff. We really had some good things going. And I remember at one of the meetings, I think editorial came out really
mm-hmm.
very complimentary about this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick said to me, what kind of a love relationship do you and Leo have together now? You know, so, because we really did.
Yeah.
Neil came in, everything went, it just destroyed everything. It was,
mm-hmm.
in fact, Neil sent someone over to see me, and we were dealing with dropout rates and things
mm-hmm.
like that. And he more said, oh, by the way, the governor wants you to know he'll be announcing the dropout rates next year. So, what base? Well, the governor wants to, anybody who's making a minimum wage would not be counted as a dropout, as we're working on our plan. And I said, oh. I said, well, fine, you go ahead and release your mm-hmm. report. I'll release mine.
Mm-hmm.
It was just one, he was trying to show he was doing a lot with dropouts.
Right.
He wasn't doing a dang thing. And
yeah.
besides, we were saying, you don't start with a dropout problem. You have to front load the system down here. So Leo and I had we had the early childhood and all this sort of stuff really
mm-hmm.
going.
Mm-hmm.
And it all got
put
aside. And that was Atiyah's. You know, his staff was great to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then it fell apart.
Yeah. So when Goldschmidt came in, was it simply a lack of the meetings? Or was
well,
it
you had no
meetings?
Contact, no contact with
no
him.
Contact.
No, I didn't deal with the governor at all.
Yeah.
In fact, I think you were smoking my retirement. I'd forgotten about that. Oh, yeah, I was over at Rex Putnam High School. He did come to speak of that. And I remember he said something about, how did he say it? And he probably said, and I'm probably the last governor Burns talked to. It was kind of a slam at Goldschmidt.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I'm probably the last governor. Come to think of it, I'm probably the last governor Burns talked to.
Yep.
I'd forgotten about that. He did speak at my retirement. He came out
yeah.
over there. Hmm. Yeah, it's at my retirement and my 80th birthday. Yeah. Yeah. By the way, I'm going to show you that picture of him at the 80th birthday
uh-huh.
party. You would never know this is a man who's going to die in 3 months.
Yeah.
Really.
Last time I interviewed him was June 3rd.
June 3rd.
And my wife and I, Donna and I, just went and spent a month in Italy for our 25th anniversary.
Oh, he died while you were gone?
Yeah. Well, he died right when I got back.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
He was excited because he and Dolores were celebrating their 70th. And so when we came back, we were going to compare notes on anniversaries.
Yeah.
And, you know, boom, he fell.
When's your anniversary?
Our anniversary is actually next week.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But we took a big trip in the
summer. Don and I just did our 50th.
Oh, great. Congratulations.
And we just took off, the two of us, went up on Hood Canal area and had a place up there. And
yeah.
Just did day trips, and we just had a good time. Yeah.
Yeah.
She didn't want a big big thing here. Donna's,
Yeah.
My 80th birthday party was a biggie.
Yeah.
And I felt kind of guilty, you know. But that's Donna, she prefers.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, darn.
Yeah. Yeah. Vic fell on his anniversary.
Yeah, that's right. It was.
And
that's right.
So when I met with Denny Miles, I was saying, so my wife is kind of, you know, why did he fall on his anniversary? Denny said, well, because Denny didn't find out about that he'd even fallen until the 13th. Because Dolores had gone in the hospital. There's a deal.
Oh, yeah.
There's a deal that if anybody goes in the hospital, then anybody does a press release. So they didn't call him until Dolores went in the hospital. And Vic was telling him what was going on and said, oh, by the way, I fell as well. Were you in the hospital? No, just to check out. But eventually he and Denny talked. And Denny asked him, so were you doing some funny dancing on your birthday or on your anniversary? Vic had fallen and broken his ribs. So he started cracking up, and it hurt like hell. And then Vic said something and Denny responded. He laughed harder. So it's like, well, there you go.
70th anniversary.
There you go. Oh, so gosh. We don't know why he fell, but Vic thought it was very funny to ask.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, he was, yeah, what a way to go.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, he's 91.
Yeah. That gives me 11 years if I go that long.
Sure.
91. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
so. And, you know, doing just fine until the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, let's switch to a little background stuff.
Okay.
When you started as superintendent, school districts were school districts. Mm-hmm. That's basically where the money came from. They didn't vote
local
for it.
School was about 30% state.
Yeah, 30% state.
Mm-hmm.
That changes, so eventually we get to the safety net.
But
that safety net is Goldschmidt?
No.
Era, or
no,
is it
no,
before?
No, the safety net's coming in with, that's coming in probably with the TIA. That was a Jason Bowe.
Jason Bowe thing. Because the way Vic described it is, by the time he left office, about half the school districts had kind of, you know, had the failure and then voted in the safety net kind of thing. And so I wasn't sure how that timing worked, because everybody's got it now.
Well, it's so different now, and I don't even understand it now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At that point, when he came in, okay, you had tax bases.
Right.
The district had a tax base. By the way, because of consolidation, reorganization, and so forth, you might have a district like North Clackamas became a district, and so I think they had a zero tax base.
Right.
A lot of districts, because of,
yeah,
you know, some of these tax bases were established back in the 20s or so.
Yeah. Down in Southern Oregon, we famously had them from 1912
and
1916.
Yeah, yeah. Bethel School District was 1925, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, they might have had enough that they could have run school for 2 days.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of those tax bases were just nothing.
Yeah.
Well, the law at that time was you could increase your tax base. You couldn't increase your tax base. You could increase your levy by 6%,
mm-hmm,
on your tax base,
mm-hmm,
of your tax base. And everybody kept saying, well, see, they go up 6% every year. Well, I would try to tell people around the state, if your tax base is zero and you increase it by 6%, you still have a problem.
Yes.
Zero times six is zero.
Yes.
And, you know, you'd say that to people and then they'd, yeah, I know, but they get to increase it 6% every year, and they just go up and up and up. No, it doesn't happen that way.
Right.
And then they keep saying, well, they keep coming back to us. Well, they have to.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't go back, you operate only on what you have, that tax base. Plus, you know, your state money. Money was nothing, about 30%. And then you have some federal money in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would have to go back. But historically, people passed levies.
Right.
You know, who would vote against a school?
Right.
And then, Salem had a group coming in and started a real anti-campaign,
mm-hmm,
on it. And so you saw that happening in a few places. But still, the concept was pretty much, we're proud we pass our levies.
Mm-hmm.
But then you had the timber tax. The timber sales drop off.
Right.
OMC funds,
right,
drop like mad.
Yeah.
So you take a district like Brookings Harbor that didn't need state money and didn't need
mm-hmm,
anything because they had OMC funds. And a lot of these, Douglas County,
yeah,
Jackson County,
yeah,
the southern particular right in there, Curry, all those,
yeah,
people, they really lived on OMC funds. They ran county government, they ran your schools, you were on the gravy. I remember going down to Brookings Harbor one time. They had failed their levy several times. Their schools would have had to close if the levy didn't pass. It was not a threat. It was an actual fact,
yeah,
that you would have had to close. And so I remember I said to the people down there, I remember meeting with a whole big group. I said, folks, you've been on the gravy train for a long time, and now it's catching up.
Yeah.
And you know you've got to accept. And even when they passed that levy, I recall, they still had one of the lowest tax bases.
Yeah, which is their problem now for everything.
Yeah. So that was the system we had. So that.
Yes, that my grandmother was the principal at Kalmiopsis Elementary.
Okay, so you
yeah.
You've been through this whole business. Okay, yeah. Good time, yeah. Well, so we were going through that. So we were meeting, you know, I think I had about 14 school districts that were ready to close. Mm-hmm. We came over and we met in the governor's conference room. Mm-hmm. With them. And, you know, of course, what the governor is having to say, and I'm saying the same thing, there is no state money. I mean,
right. There
is nothing right now. There is no way. And there's an equity question if the state did.
Yeah.
If the state were to come in, which they can't, but gave you the money, I live in District X over here, I'm going to say, hey, let's vote our levy down next. The state will come in and pick us up, too. Mm-hmm. You know, so you. But that was our system at that particular time. And that's when Jason was trying to work out his plan. Safety net. I can't remember the safety net was coming in. It was during his during his time.
Mm-hmm.
Might have been 80. When did Jason leave? Because Jason was still in a position of president.
Yeah.
He was five terms, and he was elected, I think, 73, 75, 77,
mm-hmm.
79, 81. So it was prior to that then. That, because I know that Jason was the one working on some. And he had A B plan or something too, or several different kind of plans in there. But that, I don't think I've answered your question. Probably because I don't know the answer.
No, but we're getting closer.
Yeah. I'm having to dig.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can remember all that part. And that's when it would have been during his time when. Well, we definitely would have had Eagle Point, North Bend, South Lane, which is Curtis Grove, Estacada, that to close doors. Seems like we have those four for sure. Yeah. And there were others, like LeGrand was so close to it.
Yeah.
A lot of places. LeGrand, what happened over there was interesting because the business community did not want LeGrand to get the image of a place to close the schools. And they worked a deal, signing notes and so forth, covered payroll or something to keep it going until the next election.
A private equity and interference.
There was something on that. Mm-hmm. Because the image, you know, was what you do to your town if you close your schools. There was a real fear. The people would say, we're running out of money, we have to close our schools.
Yeah.
Well, I was concerned about that too, because, you know, not that I have any unscrupulous superintendents or boards around, but I wouldn't trust them. So I was doing an MBA at the University of Portland. And I had Mike White from managerial accounting, and my project then was to develop a system where I could determine, yes, District A, you do have to close. You will run out of money on October 16th.
Right.
And I can vouch for it, and I'll sign off on it.
Right.
Unless I can do this, I'm not going to sign off. And,
right.
You know, the state superintendent won't come in and say, yes, the district will have to close. Because, you know, if you close, you still have to pay insurance.
Yep.
You still have debt obligations. You have security, you know, that you want to take care of, you want to heat the buildings during the winter, you don't want the pipes to freeze, you know, those are, so you calculate all those givens that you have to do. There was always the question, well, you have contracts with teachers, well, they became null and void, technically, we said, but, so we worked that out, so I could, without any hesitation, I can say, I will stand behind that district on their decision. And mm-hmm. if it doesn't meet this, I won't do it.
Yeah.
So we did that.
Yeah.
That was during his time. I think he knew what we were doing. Yeah, we worked together a lot on those things. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
In those days, keep in mind, very different. I watch what's happening today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, governors are just taking over.
Oh, yeah.
Schools all over.
Yeah.
That didn't happen.
And big city mayors.
Yeah. The mayors just think they really have to.
Yeah.
And that would never happen. In fact, it was rare that the legislature never got involved with curriculum.
Yeah.
In fact, I tried to balk if they did. I didn't mm-hmm. want to, because the last thing you want, which we're finding is true, is the political aspect of the curriculum, you know. So
yeah.
We didn't have that during my tenure. I gave way one time on a peace curriculum. And mm-hmm. why I did that, Wayne Fawbush was the senator mm-hmm. who wanted. And so otherwise I fought everything else. And then I had to develop this peace curriculum. So I put together a 5-person committee.
Mm-hmm.
I found kind of a peacenik, and then a friend of mine who was a Navy Reserve captain who was, you know, mm-hmm. straight. So I put them. And I thought I was going to have war in my peace committee.
Mm-hmm.
And they came out with the most innocuous curriculum you could ever imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And I submitted that to school districts, and casually said, stick it on the shelf, and
mm-hmm.
I'll never look for it when we try to evaluate your school.
Yeah.
Because it just doesn't work with the legislative
yeah.
process, I don't think. And,
yeah.
and Vic never, he didn't try to play superintendent. I laughed. There was a measure on the ballot that would have made the governor superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, which is mm-hmm. which we have right now, which I think is absolutely unconstitutional.
Oh, yeah.
But anyhow, no, that wasn't it. No, that was just what it would mean.
It was
going to be appointed by the governor.
Yeah, appointed by the governor.
And so it wouldn't make the governor at that time. Frank tried mm-hmm. to do the other, but he mm-hmm. didn't get it through mm-hmm. Frank Roberts. And so I was in his office the next morning or something. He says, Vern, I voted against... I voted for that bill.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, but Dolores didn't. And smiled, and we laughed. And I said, hey, if I'd been governor, I would have voted for it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we laughed about that. Yeah, it was
kinda... when you're talking about LeGrand and the business community stepping up, one of the things about Vic is when he came into office, he didn't have sweeping changes in mind. He you know, he ran for governor the first time because he looked at McCall at the end of his time and said, I can do that. Which is kind of how he ran for the first time in 1958 for the legislature.
But I don't have to be showy or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, yeah, if you think about yeah, you hear the glowing comments now.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't hear that.
Oh, no,
days.
No.
He was criticized.
Yeah.
He barely made it. Well, he did make it in good shape. I thought he'd probably lose the election
mm-hmm.
to Kulongowski. I think most people did early on.
Yeah.
The tide changed right at the end. But
yeah.
I would have guessed that he was going down to
yeah.
to defeat.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was not a popular. But I can remember saying to him, and people love to say that, you know, I said so and so, but I did say this a number of times to him, history will treat you well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm right.
Yeah.
I'm right on that one.
Absolutely.
But he was not getting the accolades
that
he deserved that he's getting nowadays.
I'm
really thrilled about that.
And partly not tooting his own horn. Denny apparently got in trouble because people said, how come you're not tooting the governor's horn? He said, the governor doesn't want to do it.
The governor won't let me.
Yeah. He won't let me do it.
I'm going to take a glass of water.
Okay.
Needs water?
No, I'm fine. Thanks.
Why my voice is...
All that Starbucks coffee.
My voice was going out there for a minute. Yeah,
but
that would not have been his style.
Yeah, but the question is, he ended up having a long-term plan of making Oregon a better place to do business. In the words today, we'd say mm-hmm. you want job creators to come in.
Oh, yeah.
And partly to replace timber stuff, but partly because he just saw as a business person and being in the legislature for so long, we need a diversified economy. We've got to have it.
But you know, it's interesting, in that whole process, you know, there's a tendency to think that business, some business people like him, buy a dime, you operate like a business and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was a businessman
right.
who understood government.
Exactly.
And government can't always operate like a business, but where he could, he was not a... he was interested in education. He was interested in human services. He wasn't just I'm a Portland downtown businessman, and that's the only one I care about.
Mm-hmm.
Now that didn't come through.
Yeah.
There might have been those. That's right. There might have been those who felt that at that time. I suppose.
From his point of view, the business community thought he was one of theirs. And He said no to them.
Oh yeah.
And they were ticked off.
Oh yeah.
But then it's going to be fascinating to look at the media coverage. I don't think it ever went so people said, oh, he's not really part of the, he's not a yes man for the business community. I don't think that ever really happened. People's perception of it.
From the people's perspective.
Oh yeah.
But those sides always, I remember. I'm sorry to talk about my own, but that's I can relate. I remember having been in office for a short period of time, but then I met with the School Boards Association. Mm-hmm. And Jan Colton, do you know Jan? Jan was my assistant for years. Jan was with me. And they just raked me over the coals, that I'd sold out to the teachers' union, and because they had endorsed me the first time.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't the next time, but they did that thing. That sold out to the teachers' union and so forth and so on. And really raked me over the coals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I hadn't been in office for a year, but I was getting it. And then I met with the OEA leadership, within a reasonable period of time. Jan was with me again.
Mm-hmm.
They just wrecked me. They supported me, and yet you've never forgotten you're an administrator and you care about administration. You could care less about teachers. You never have to you've forgotten you were ever a teacher. And they just, I remember we walked out, and I think it was Jan who said, I can't believe I was in both meetings. you get it from both sides. And I think I was thinking I must have been doing a hell of a good job.
Yeah.
but that's like it's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Your business colleagues would expect you to. Yeah. A teacher, people expect you to be just all for
it. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did, in your mind, did Atiyah ever specifically associate getting school budgets more rational as part of that economic development thing? Because he specifically talks about land use planning, not getting rid of the land use stuff that we had, but making it so that businesses knew what to expect, and farmers knew what to expect. Everybody knew what to expect. And then from there, permitting, refocused on. Mm-hmm. And then as things kind of fall around him in the recession, because basically he just had one year that wasn't kind of a horrible recession going on, then he focuses on cutting budgets, but he's putting money into what he says higher education and business development, the economic development group.
Yeah.
But besides that, everything else has got to be cut. But was the school budget, school stuff at a local level, was that ever part of the conversation about making this a more attractive place for business, which it is now? It is now.
I don't associate Atiyah with education a lot. And that's not a negative statement. It just, at that time, I'm not sure what all we could have done, to be truthful.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were doing all we could.
Yeah.
We were doing it. I was keeping in touch with him and so forth. I think he let me run the department, and I did, and I'd go to meetings with other state superintendents, and they say, my governor's got me doing this, my governor's, my governor doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they might get a call. I've had get a call right from the governor, they're at the meeting, they have to run home. No, that would never.
Oh, no.
Never.
No.
Never have happened, too.
Yeah.
No, I didn't have to jump and so forth.
Yeah.
I respected him. I treated
right.
him, even though technically he was not my boss.
Yeah.
I just always had a great respect for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that, I would have tried to have the same thing for Neil, but we didn't have a relationship.
Right.
Straub was really nice and very pleasant, and I had no mm-hmm. negative things. But Straub and I would talk about something, and then staff would do something else. You know, so.
Right.
And I suppose in those days I didn't care that much because governors were not that involved.
Yeah.
With education.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't a biggie at that time.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I don't. That's I don't associate him with major. Interest and support, but.
So, what can you tell me about investing in higher education, especially after the 82 recession hit? Because he says he makes a point of that was one thing that didn't get cut, and he put more money into it. From my point of view, which was thousands of miles away, and when I was in high school, the reason I didn't even apply to a state school is because I looked at the legislature mucking around with money going to higher ed all the time. So why on earth would I want to go there?
Yeah, it'd be interesting if you could talk to Roy Llewellyn, because he was having a rough time
mm-hmm.
with the legislature at that time. Mm-hmm. He was a grand. Mm-hmm. Did you know him at all?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just what a grand man. I just loved.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Lou, and it was just really great to work with him. And he wrote it well with the legislature. I can't believe it. He could still be jovial and but they were really, they were really after him all the time. Well, they were after me too. I
mm-hmm.
mean, they were. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
The legislature. Yeah, the legislature was. By the way, I deserve some of it, but they were. I didn't find the legislature very pleasant
mm-hmm.
to work with in those
mm-hmm.
days.
So was it, do you know, I mean, how much money was going to higher ed? Was it a huge amount of money, or was it just kind of keeping them even? Do you have a sense of that at all?
I'm not sure we were keeping even around the country.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a...
That's my feeling as well.
It's my feeling, and it's kind of my memory of it, but I don't have figures to back it up.
Okay.
But I think they were, I think we were falling behind.
Okay.
Even in those days.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
One specific thing that came up, I wrote Vic's Oregon Encyclopedia entry.
Oh, did you?
I did.
Oh, good.
And
I haven't read that.
It just went online right when I got, like a week before he died, it went
mm-hmm.
online. So I have the one that says 1923. To X, and then now it's 1923 to 2014.
Yeah.
But it's putting together, a big thing that he's really proud of is the unitary tax
mm-hmm.
Change in the special session in 84.
Mm-hmm.
One of the anonymous reviewers, and who knew that the Oregon Encyclopedia would be a fully vetted thing with peer review, but one of the anonymous reviewers said, well, if you do the unitary tax, it made a big hit to public education. And so I when I was saying to the editor, I said, well, I can't put that in there because I don't know about it. Wait for the book. I'll do research. Here's what I know about the unitary tax without going into the actual numbers,
mm-hmm.
but from the stuff that Vic did and from talking to a couple of other people and looking at like the Blue Book and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The unitary tax would have resulted in about $36 million fewer dollars coming in. But one reason he called it for a special session is he wanted the legislature to consider it without the budgetary stuff. Because the unitary tax on its own was an issue with getting businesses to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, I'm going to, when I write the budget, the $36 million will be taken care of.
I'll take care of it then.
Which, as far as I can tell, is exactly what happened. So do you remember any conversation like the unitary tax would do a big hit to public education?
Well, keep
or
in
anything?
Mind, you're, at this point, Joe, you're talking about 30% of the...
Yeah, it's...
It's still... you're still under the old system.
Yeah.
And, by the way, when I say 30%, it's that statewide average. Portland's getting about 17%.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 17 to 19% at that time.
Yeah.
So it's a statewide figure. It doesn't tell you the true story. So they were not, so Portland, probably the impact would be...
Yeah, would have been minimal.
Minimum, completely. So, isn't that funny? I can't... You know, a good source there would be Ozzy.
Okay.
Do you know Ozzy Rose?
No, but...
Ozzy would be a good source on that one.
Uh-huh.
He really would be. The best source would be Lloyd Thomas, who just died. Lloyd was my finance guy who really could have just...
Yeah.
Would have answered just like that.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a good finance man, and I had Lloyd, so I really was in good shape. I don't have him now, he died.
Yeah.
But I think Ozzy might.
Okay.
Ozzy, do you know who he is?
Yeah.
Ozzy would really be a good source on this whole thing, too, for you.
Yeah.
Because he'll understand the finance better, much better than I will.
Right.
Yeah.
Another reason it becomes important is one of the obits that AP put out talked about that.
About the unitary tax.
It talked about the unitary tax happened and schools took a hit. And so I don't know who the anonymous reviewer was.
Why did I ask you to ask the question? Do you want me to ask it just right now?
Sure.
Let's see if I get
sure.
Just ask us right now. Let's see if I can get him. You have questions you can ask. See if we get him. I just expect people to be right there when I call.
Exactly.
Uh-oh, we are not available now.
Oh.
Please leave.
Let's see if I try a... Hey, Ozzy, this is Vern. How you doing? Good, good. Ozzy, I'm sitting here with Jim Moore, you know, professor from Pacific, and he is the designated person by Vicatea to write the biography of Vicatea.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, Jim, Ozzy Rose.
Hi, Ozzy.
Hi, Jim. I read your name a lot of places.
Oh, yeah, that happens. They'll believe half of what you read.
Hey, he just asked a question, and I said, hey, I've never claimed to be a good school finance man. You're the best source I know. Jim, are you in a good position to answer a question right now?
I'm driving down a couple, but I will pull over and get parked.
Okay.
I can do that.
We'll give you just a second here.
Okay, I'm parked.
Okay, here's Jim.
So, the unitary tax repealed or reformed in the 1984 special session. There are some who say that the unitary tax reform cost schools money because of the tax money now not coming into the state coffers. As far as I can tell, the cost to the state coffers was about $36 million, and the governor said that he then massaged that so it wasn't a problem when he put the budget together in 1985. Do you know if the unitary tax cost public education money when it was passed?
And by the way, Ozzy, I reminded Jim that during that period of time, your state support, you know, statewide average may be 30%. So what would that impact be? So I'll let you answer the question.
I don't know for sure the answer to your question, but I'm just going to throw in what you just said. You know, only 25 to 30% of our money came from the state anyway.
Right.
And so if he said
Yeah, thanks. The reason it came up is I wrote the Oregon Encyclopedia entry on Vic, and one of the anonymous reviewers said that's what happened, and then I told the editor I can't put that in because I don't have facts on that. So I'm just trying to chase it down. Archives would love to have that.
But I've got to go back and research. I've already got some of the stuff. I've got to research so I can tell the story right around about those four majors.
Yeah.
I'm working on that. And then I was just going to call up and come up there. I had it on my wall all my professional days, and I had it at home. But I really liked the governor. He was really, really good guy.
Yeah. Oh, we would love to have that. Absolutely.
And the governor always greeted me with, "It's good for the kids, right, Ozzy?" Anyway, I get the research done behind that, so I know I'm telling the story right. You know, stories that people my age tell are kind of in the realm of accuracy, but you need to do some work to be sure you're accurate.
Yeah. Yeah, I just finished reading all 63 hours of the governor's oral history transcript that he did with the Oregon Historical Society about 22 years ago. And so I'm into the accuracy part, you know, talking to other people, looking at actual documents to make sure he was kind of telling what actually happened.
Well, my vote would be if he said he did it, he did it.
I think that's a pretty reasonable thing.
That's a good statement, Ozzy. Well, well, you'll look forward to reading Jim's book. When's it coming out, Jim?
Probably 2016.
2016. Okay. Yep. Well, we'll look forward to it. Okay, Ozzy.
Down the road. I don't even buy a green banana.
Exactly. So the governor just formally, he just asked me last October.
If I get my stuff organized, are you on to contact?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You can contact me at the university. I'm easy to find at the university. Just Google me, and either the university comes up or any one of a billion newspaper articles. So.
Yeah, right. Okay. I think I'll Google Pacific and then find you on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think you're better off, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Okay, Ozzy. Hey, thanks for pulling over. Good to talk to you.
Thanks for calling.
Okay,
thanks.
Bye. Well, I think he might be a good resource to keep in mind.
Ozzy
Rose. So, huh?
Yeah, that's great.
Do you want his number? I've got his home. It's 503-362-1473. And his mobile is 503-931-4616. Ozzy Rose. And he was the director of the Confederation of School Administrators for, 30 years.
People like that who don't necessarily appear in the oral history.
Oh, yeah.
It's just getting those details. And so I'm, kind of, hitting the views that I know.
Yeah.
And you got to dig deeper and deeper. And
oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
When I go, into the state archives, I can't just go in there. There's too much stuff.
Oh, you get overwhelmed.
I have to have a good plan as I hit it.
Yeah.
Oops. That kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, the Russian East life was
interesting. Yes, that's just we hit the Russian East. Has anybody written a good book on the Russian East?
Well, not a good book. There's a, would you believe, those boxes right there.
Uh-huh.
It's all Russian East stuff.
Uh-huh.
And Kathy Murdoch, who is my legal,
mm-hmm.
we've been sitting here mm-hmm. putting that all in order.
Oh, great.
And so I don't know if she writes it. Somebody said I should, and I said no. No, I was too close to it. You know, I don't. It has to be somebody, a scholarly, to do it, that. But I've got a lot of stuff on them. That's the education side of it.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a big article that was in Harper's or something like that. Oh, huge.
Mm-hmm.
30 pages or something. Article. And I have that. He has one paragraph in there about education. And it says, Duncan finally comes on the scene in years later.
Mm-hmm.
And my gosh, all you have to do is look at my documentation. And we're on the scene. I'm doing all this sort of stuff with them back and forth and so forth. So I'm mad about that.
Yeah.
That I don't. There was a TV on public broadcast.
Yeah.
And they don't mention education.
No, they don't.
Yeah, we were very much involved with them.
So, tell me about several thumbnails of you as the state superintendent dealing with them.
Okay.
And then after that, let's segue if you have anything about what you knew the governor's office was doing or not doing, that kind of stuff.
Okay. Well,
so, focus on you, your firsthand experience.
Okay. Well, my first, I don't know if I remember exactly. First, I can go back to all the days when we first started having
mm-hmm.
official kinds of
mm-hmm.
conferences. There was obviously concern they're taking over the school board.
Right.
And it was an illegal election and so forth, so that was all fine. The question, keep in mind, I think their state support was about $50,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember, the Log One is buying a new Rolls Royce every week.
Right.
So what's $50,000?
Right.
All the Rajan Ish would have had to have said was, on any given day, we're a private school.
Yeah.
And I'm not involved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They didn't do that. My theory is they wanted the state, when things were going smoothly, they would do something.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to come down on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it helped make them look like the oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's my theory that there's
mm-hmm.
because why even bother with this?
Yeah,
they could thumb their nose at me.
Yeah,
they couldn't when they're a state under the state authority.
Right.
I can say something about their curriculum and all that sort
right.
of stuff. But they didn't need me.
Yeah.
But they couldn't. So it was interesting. Sent staff over. There was a lot of complaint. If you read my mail, it's just the mail from the people all over the state, just furious with the Russian news. First of all, the teachers are wearing religious garb to school. We're giving state money.
Are they Catholic?
Well, you go back to the 1925 law, and and it was interesting because I finally did rule that they could not wear
mm-hmm.
the medulla with the Bhagwan's picture on it.
Mm-hmm.
The teachers could not wear that. So
mm-hmm.
Some people would say to me, yeah, but they're weighing it down their neck. I said, they may be. I'm not going to go look down their neck to
exactly.
see. And I look at the red,
Yeah.
I said, I have teachers all over the state going to school today wearing red.
Yeah.
I can't outlaw red.
Yeah.
So, but we did, my staff went over, and they came back with a report to me, and I said, gave the appearance of be inaccessible to the general public.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I was critical of that and took it. So I said I was going to take away the basic school support and $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
They got a hold of me and said, well, you have never even been over. You're afraid to come over? I said, no, I'll come over. So I went over.
Mm-hmm.
It was really interesting because as I went down on the ranch with Badu and the mayor, Diva, yeah, and there was a huge sign, big sign,
mm-hmm.
that said, public access to Lincoln School. I started laughing at both of them, and I said, oh, you guys. I said, you know, I have a military background, and I know how you prepare the night before for the general's visit the next day.
Right.
I said, I'll bet I get wet paint all over my fingers if I don't touch that sign. And they chuckled, too.
Uh-huh.
Anyhow, but it's public access. But anyhow, eventually we did, with reports from my staff, I did rule to cut out their... No, I was going to... What was I going to do? I was going to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Against them. My staff met, and we decided, I think, I can't remember what the exact decision was, something was coming down on the Rajneesh. Been very popular public. The public
mm-hmm.
would have loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I have to go to the barbershop. And so I went over, and I'm sitting in the barber chair talking to Skip, my barber, you know,
mm-hmm.
how you do, and I'm mulling this whole thing over. And I'm saying, you know, we just made a decision. We made a political decision, the public will like, but it's not the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wrong. I went back, called my staff together, and said, I'm reversing it.
Mm-hmm.
So they kid, in fact, even on the tapes, they've done this tape on me
mm-hmm.
that's going to come on a Clackamas public
mm-hmm.
deal. And it says, Vern Wintry's barber. And Skip didn't like the plan, so he changed his mind. And they said, every time we had to make a decision after that, we'd say, Vern, do you want to run check to see if it's okay with Skip? But anyhow, I did reverse it.
And yeah.
But then one time I ruled against them, and they took me to court.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I said there's seven things they had to do
mm-hmm.
and to become eligible mm-hmm. for the state school. And so they took me to court because
mm-hmm.
I declared them non-standard. No money. And, of course, things like that go into Marion County Court
yeah.
in your state. So the night before they called, they had a revised plan. I'd meet with them before court.
Mm-hmm.
I said, sure. So we're at the courthouse. I met with them. And they came with something way off the wall. And I said, no, I don't go
mm-hmm.
for that. Well, the judge said, you guys keep working on something.
Mm-hmm.
So we did. And they kept bringing, and it was interesting, Jim, because ABC... NBC, not locals, I'm
mm-hmm.
talking about the
yeah.
networks were there.
Yeah.
And I knew it was going to be interesting that day because my kids were in high school. No, Annette was in college at Oregon State. Chris was in high school, and her boyfriend, who's her husband, who's the superintendent of Oregon City now, stayed out of school that day and went down because
yeah.
I said,
yeah.
this is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Anyhow, about noon that day, they kept coming back in with proposals I was rejecting. You know, they were
mm-hmm.
just awful. Finally, they came back in with exactly the seven things I said they had to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, that's what I said. If you do that, I'll declare you. So we stepped out, all the cameras,
mm-hmm.
stepped in front. They're great choreographers.
Mm-hmm.
The state superintendent has now met our demands. You know, it just, they were great choreographers.
Yeah.
Really, you know. I was out there with Sheila quite a bit. Not quite, but I was out. She was at the office, and I was
mm-hmm.
out there having lunch with
mm-hmm.
her one day. She was... Bring one more salad, and then she'd chuckle, and I'd laugh, you know. Want another glass of water,
mm-hmm.
and you know, all these things that they're talking about
yeah.
being poisoned,
yeah.
which they really had done.
Mm-hmm.
I was that one day I was out there. They it was time for the Bhagwan's pass in review,
mm-hmm.
and so I'm in line with them, and. Someone hands me a tambourine. Do you want that? No. I can just see a picture on the Oregonian.
Exactly.
I was out there the day that Sheila had left.
Mm-hmm.
She had just left.
Mm-hmm.
I just happened. Donna was with me, and we went down. I said, oh, Donna, take you down to the ranch. And how I got down, I had my own car, not a state car, anything like that. And just drove down. And as I drove into Antelope, by the way, I could see the school wasn't in session.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm getting kind of upset. What's going on? Why is the school in session? So we drive down the ranch. I couldn't quite remember how to get to that public access
mm-hmm.
school, the Lincoln School, which was on the
mm-hmm.
on the ranch. And I remember stopping at the peace station. They had a peace station, not a mm-hmm. peace officer. And I said, how do I get to school? And he said, I'm sorry, I don't know. And I really got upset. I said, you know, you're in the police department. What happens if something goes wrong at your school? You don't know where it is?
Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously, they're calling somebody. And Wadu, the school board chairman, is right there.
Mm-hmm.
And Don and I, he took us on a tour that day of everything. Wanted Donna to see the ranch and everything. Really, everything's it's really strange. Because remember, Sheila has just absconded that morning. That morning, there's a lot of chaos, and yet they're trying to keep a calm.
Exactly.
And in fact, they even had a new school bus they wanted me to see. And took me to some of the school buses and showed me how that place. And Don and I walked around and had ice cream at the store down there.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, we didn't leave till about 5 o'clock. And when we went back up to Antelope, and school was in session.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I knew it would be. They rounded up kids right quick, like, and got school going for me.
Yeah.
It was an interesting time.
Interesting
time, yeah.
So, what do you know about what the governor was doing, or was that on your radar?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the governor and, well, for example, the governor and Dave Frohman, we were all getting letters. You know, governor was, AG was, I was, and the Rajneeshs wanted copies of all of our mail.
Mm-hmm.
So we met, and the decision was made. We would block out names and addresses of who had sent the letters to us, and we would make copies for them, charge them for it, which we did. There was a feeling that probably if they forced the issue, we probably would have to provide names.
Oh, yeah.
We thought we'd start this way.
And yeah, exactly.
So we did. That never materialized. I think it all fell apart before. But, you know, little things like that would strategy how to handle it. So we were keeping in touch with Dave and the governor's office, too. So I think I just was reporting what our end of it was.
Right.
And so they always knew what we were,
what
we were doing.
So the sense that there that was kind of the central repository.
And I don't know that we, I can't say there was a central there was no major clearinghouse for us, I don't think. I don't remember having to do that. I think we I think just by nature we did that with it, but I don't remember any central that we always had reported. Although it was, like I said, the state police seemed to know where we were and all that. I thought it was interesting. One night, I'd made a decision which was very much against the Rajneesh. And again, the network news was at my office. And it was covered. And everybody left. And I stayed at my office. And I decided to stay and watch the 11 o'clock news to see what came on. And Tika, she can be sharp-tongued, she was really, called me a child abuser and everything else on TV that night. And then I left to drive home. But I had a funny feeling as I left the building, nobody around, I mean, I'm the only one there. And I got in my car, and I remember that night, we're living here, and I was driving back and forth to Salem, I just had a funny feeling, and I took no route that I ordinarily took. I just completely changed routes that night coming home. And had I known what I know now, although it worked out okay, but had I known what I know now, I would have said, I think I need state police escort home tonight. I should have done that. But as it worked out, it was okay.
Yeah.
But just, you know, it was a scary time in a lot of respects.
Absolutely.
But I was very aware that they were very upset with me. But again, Jim, why?
Yeah.
Why not just say
we're private and we're done with it?
Yeah, we're just a private school out here. We abolish the school district. Close the school district.
One thing that Vic was saying was he had a real sense that these kinds of cults have a life cycle. You can't predict when they are going to end, but they are going to end. Was that something that you focused on, or were you just kind of caught up in the day-to-day with it?
I think we're probably caught up in the day-to-day. I don't think at that point, you know, I don't think I knew enough about their inside politics to know that the Bhagavan and Srila kind of split. And so I can't say that. I'm convinced that we're being used as a tool to help them send a message out that we're being oppressed. Big government coming down on us. Well, those old newspapers. Did you ever see one of those Russianese newspapers? I have it right.
You can tell you haven't been out there for a bit.
Hey, kitty.
They're magazines. And that might be a good source to you, too.
That's a family my mother grew up with in Hawaii.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, see the kids here.
Yep.
This is their magazine. This is their favorite.
Uh-huh.
They have a lot of questions. It's great.
Beloved Mr. Duncan.
Oh, yes.
That's great.
Yeah, everybody was beloved in those days.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're really, they're taking the students, they're all taking the test.
Yeah. You took a really low profile.
This is the picture I love. This is Ron Burns, my deputy.
Uh-huh.
He's over there.
Under the rainbow.
And he said it was really funny. He woke up on a Sunday morning, picked up his Sunday morning paper and said he got to sail. And there he was on the front page of the rainbow at the back. That's Wadu.
Yeah.
So there's Wadu, too. Yeah. You want to fight that?
I have all the New Yorker. I can get all of them. It'll be on the bottom of the page.
November, September 22nd.
September 22nd, 1986.
Yeah. Look at that. Oh, that's wonderful. And I'm sure Atiyah is... disregard the comment where it says Duncan finally comes on to the scene.
I will.
Gosh, that
I will.
Yeah,
I can get all
those.
Yep. Well, I thought I had that. But anyhow, if
you... Yeah. So the Rajesh time.
Yeah,
because
there'll be a lot of things on the TA. No,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Interesting times.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it is. I don't know if you'd want to be the one to write the education part of it. I'd be happy to let you do it.
So let's leave the governorship. Superintendent for another couple of years, then you leave. Tell me what Vic was like as kind of the grand old ex-governor.
Oh, yeah, that was fun to watch. Yeah, the relationship between he and Barbara Roberts
mm-hmm.
was really interesting to watch.
Mm-hmm.
They did a lot together.
Yeah,
and I think they end up with a lot of respect. She really. She thinks the world of it.
Oh, yeah. And he were talking to him, he said, you know, I think we disagree on one policy thing now.
yeah. They really...
In the 1992-93, when he's doing the oral history, she's in office. And
I'm sure he's critical.
And, you know, by the time I got to know him,
yeah.
Best buds.
Oh, yeah.
He really... Ted is the one he really, really bonded with on a real personal level.
Who?
Ted Kulongoski.
Oh, Kulongoski. Oh,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
But he just thinks the world of Barbara.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really do. And she just loves the man. There's no question about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she gets a kick out of the two of them.
Yeah.
Joining forces on a lot of things.
Yeah.
Know, they've been supporters and co-chairs of different things. Yeah, so it's been fun to watch. He's, it's interesting. You know, he comes in my coffee group.
Mm-hmm.
He's a decent, nice human being. He was the governor.
Mm-hmm.
But he was, by the way, he was very proud to be the governor.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was very proud to be Governor Teal. There's no question about that.
His license plate.
Yeah, X1.
Yeah.
His staff gave him that.
Yeah.
Though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he didn't go after that. They presented that to him, but
he did not change it.
Yeah, no. He liked X1. He liked that one. Yeah, and you know, there's a group that meets quarterly,
mm-hmm.
Lake Oswego. You heard about that
mm-hmm.
group?
Mm-hmm.
And we had a birthday party for him, and
mm-hmm.
I have pictures downstairs. I
mm-hmm.
think I just happened to have a camera that day, and I took pictures of that from his birthday party.
Yeah,
and these are the old timers from the 70s back.
Right.
Yeah, you have to have served an office in the 70s before you can be admitted to this exclusive group. And he's always there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this has been. I have a picture that I love. I'll show you
mm-hmm.
of him leaving, walking to his car. And I just watched him. He's walking. Well, I'll show you.
Mm-hmm.
He's walking like this, just walking. There. And I'm saying, hey, there's the governor boy. Well, I think he enjoyed the attention he's getting now,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I'm sure he's saying, "What's those bastards from? I needed them, you know." These are the same people who were cussing me at one point.
Yeah.
And I have the same thing. I get people coming to me and say, "Ew, you're the best superintendent, my gosh," and I'm thinking. You know, I think you were one of my critics.
Exactly.
You know, as I told Donna, I get better every year. In another 10 years, I'm going to have been a great superintendent.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, gosh. But I think he enjoyed that. And he got a kick out of it. I don't know if he enjoyed it. Roy Satan, he was the last Republican.
Yes. No, simply the latest or most recent.
Yeah. So that was it. But just as a, you know, he was a nice person. And getting in the car, these stories you know about driving over to Ken Germstead's, you know, that would be mm-hmm. him. You know? Mm-hmm. I was surprised that he was at my birthday party. I don't know. I went out of, I think probably Dave Hunt, probably. He was the one who probably asked him. I don't remember. But
who, by the way, has asked me, I'll be speaking at Rotary.
Oh, at Oregon City? Oh, yeah. I'll have to get my son-in-law to have him take me as a guest. When is that?
It's October sometime. So I have my calendar right here. It's the advantage of having one of these things.
Yeah.
It's always right there. Oregon City Rotary, Wednesday, October 1st.
Oh, really?
Museum of the Oregon Territory.
Oh, really? Okay. That down and see if I can't get an invite. My son-in-law's a member. Jim Moore, Oregon City Rotary, got it. Okay. I just thought it was nice of him to come out and have coffee with us.
Yeah,
Do that sort of stuff. He was just very gracious. By the way, he loved the Pacific deal. I think that was. I'm so glad you got that done.
Yeah.
Beforehand.
Yeah. You know, timing in hindsight, of course, is perfect.
Oh.
But it was. He put it up there with his wedding and his first inauguration.
And Dolores was. That's one of his first outings in a long time.
Yeah.
I think, and maybe the last.
Maybe the last. Yeah. Last I heard from Denny, the kids are pretty much shutting up the house because she broke her hip.
She can't go back home.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
My
grandson went with my son-in-law to bring him up to bring him over to the birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandson will be 13.
Mm-hmm.
And the governor was so great taking him around, showing him different things.
Oh, yeah?
That's great. We'll never forget.
Yeah.
You'll never forget that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you you know about the governor's involved with the Drink Your Milk Baby campaign?
I've heard about this, but I don't know about this. So tell me.
Well, it was a big advertisement, advertising campaign. Drink Your Milk Baby. Here's the governor.
Uh-huh.
With a glass of milk. I'll show you a picture down here of my two daughters and their friend. He's here at the house
uh-huh.
or something one day, and Annette and Chris and Tracy, the next door neighbor, run into him with a glass of milk. Here, drink your milk, baby. And I've got that picture. I'll show you. It's a cute picture.
That's great.
But he was. I don't know how they got him involved with that campaign. Hey, drink your milk, baby.
Was this while he was governor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was the governor.
Yeah. Because that is, he was the NRA as well.
He also appeared with his rifle in the NRA magazine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a gun collector.
Yeah.
He loved his guns. Yeah.
Yeah. The university is trying to figure out. Fortunately, he's given all his guns away pretty much.
Oh, did he?
But we need to have one gun in the archive.
Something to show.
Gotta have. I mean, it was a big important part of
him. Oh, it really was.
He wasn't a hunter. He was a gun collector.
Yeah. He was a proud member of the. I don't know. I don't know how proud he was right at the end of some of those.
Well, there's something I never had a chance to ask him. In 93, I think it was 93, so it's the first time he's doing the oral history. They were asking him about that stuff, and that's right about the time then or a little bit after is when George Bush Sr. renounced his membership. And so I don't know I was going to ask the governor about that.
I doubt that he ever renounced.
No, he didn't renounce. No, he was NRA up to the end.
Yeah.
But he did make some comments about they're just focusing on rather than this broad.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think he had a little discomfort with some of the things he did.
Yeah.
What was the other one that he?
Future Boy Scouts.
Oh, Boy Scouts, big Boy Scout. Yeah. That's it.
He's funny talking about being on boards and things like that of nonprofits and things like that. I said, you know, they give me all these awards and they ask me to sit on boards, and eventually I said, I don't want to go to meetings. So I'll be on your board, but here's the deal. I don't want to go to the meetings. If you have a special project, I'd love to do it.
Yeah.
But I don't need to go to these meetings. Boy Scouts got to be like that, too.
Yeah, they had Boy Scouts had a 90s birthday party for him.
Oh, great.
I think there was something.
Yeah.
Oh, was there something I wanted to tell you that I thought you might... Let me just take you down and show
you. Okay, sure.
Please excuse me. I've been trying to put a bunch of...